So last week, we finished a certain, as I say, these are, good morning. These are certain psukim verses, and each one is its own whole topic. And today we'll see a few topics. I'm excited about one nice thing today. I'm excited about a lot, but there's one thing, everything is such hashkacha pratis that my brother sent me something on Friday. He was talking to me, he lives in California, and he sent me like this letter that he found from the previous Lubavitch Rebbe about something that I always complain about, that I have a very bad memory. Anyways, and it was quite a strong little letter, and it was amazing how it comes in today. So I'll share it with you today also. And yeah, we'll see, something very interesting, I think. Anyway, and it's good musr for me, but it's good anyways. A good advice for us, I say. Anybody who complains about their memory will have to stop complaining. Okay, we have to do something about it. So anyways, but before that, we have just a few other psukim that have a few other interesting topics. So it's page 960 in your Chumash. And what we're going to do is read a few psukim and stop every few psukim on, because like I say, each one is its own world. So what we're continuing Moshe Rabbeinu's speech. But here, what we're getting at is, because Moshe, remember, he already, at the beginning of this week's parasha, he was crying that he didn't get to enter the land of Israel. Right, that was his whole thing, how he doesn't get to go in and how he was so upset. Now he's moving on because he's trying to tell these people, you are entering the land of Israel, right? So he's giving them instruction in a sense, and it's more than just instruction. It's actually a perspective and an incredible, he's trying to convey to them that they should have a tremendous pride, a tremendous inner strength in what they are about to embark on and in what they are going to face. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's words are not just for that generation, they're until today. Everything he says is mamish applicable up until today. Chana, I don't think Judy's on. You can come sit here. She's not here. She's not coming. Yeah, come sit if you want. I mean, it's up to you. Why not? Unless you... Or, why not? Anyways, so Moshe, like he says, to understand, and over here in these psukim, you'll see what he's trying to make us understand is what our place in history, but even more than just our place in history, but the effect that we have on the whole world and how the whole world looks to us, and we know that more now than ever, looks to us now, even though openly and in so to speak, maybe superficially, or perhaps you might say even what they portray on the outside is a lot of times mockery, and perhaps they even more than just mockery and they look down at us, but really deep inside there is a tremendous respect. And perhaps that's part of why they mock us, because maybe a little bit of jealousy or not understanding. So Moshe is trying to convey to us that we should fill ourselves with that feeling of responsibility that we have for the role that we have, and to know what that role is, who we are, what we have to offer, not only to ourselves, but to the whole world. And that we'll see in a lot of the psukim today. So I'll show you, let's see how we start. So on page 960, if you look in, we are looking now where it says Sheni, so it's Pasuk Hey, right? It's verse 5, I think that's where it is. Yeah, Re'ei. So it says, Re'ei limadti eschem. So see, I have taught you, Chukim u'mishpatim. And we know Chukim and Mishpatim are both laws, but Chukim are the laws that we have no reason, that we don't understand. Mishpatim are the laws that we have the rational, that we do understand. Ka'asher tzivani Hashem alikai, like my God, as my God has commanded me, la'aseis, to do. In other words, what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, as Hashem has commanded him to teach us all of these laws, Cain bekerev haaretz, in the midst of the land, asher atem ba'im shama l'rishta, that you are coming to take possession. Okay, so now, Moshe Rabbeinu is emphasizing that he has taught these laws. Very interesting, because it's his speech, right? So one of the things, just on a simple level, that we can see from here is that all the laws that we have in the Torah, we weren't just given them like, you know, sometimes people might be sent a memo, a letter, a document, but they were actually physically taught, so they're alive. They're taught by a person who himself encountered Hashem, went up on Har Sinai. Moshe came down and he gave it to us in a way which he inspired us. He shared it with us and he taught it to us in a very clear way. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's first imparting. So it's not, we shouldn't feel that it's something far from us. We shouldn't feel it's something that we can't relate to or that we don't know. Remember Moshe saying, reflect. I taught it to you, I taught it to your parents, all of these laws, and they're something that you can take with you, and you will see how they will stand you in good stead. And I want to show you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ushmartem, and you shall guard them, Vasisem, and do them. Why? And this is a very interesting thing. Ki hi chachmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim. These laws, in other words, the Torah, and what we're talking about is the Jewish way of life, the Jewish perspective on life, the way, the values that we have as a Jewish people, it says, it is your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the people. That's what people look to us, it's interesting, and we know it, to the Jewish people, as the wisest people, as the people, as they call us, the people of the book, the people who have brought tremendous depth and wisdom and understanding to the whole world, to all of everything. And you can see it's very interesting because we can see that this is what happened throughout history, all throughout history, up even until today. So it's actually quite an incredible thing, and we have to be aware of it ourselves. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us. And what is the point? Asher yishmon es kol hachukim ha'elu. So he says, what will happen is, who shall hear all of these statutes, va'amru, and they will say, rak am chacham v'navain hagoy hagadol hazeh. Surely a wise and understanding people is this great nation. That's what other people will say when they look to us. And what will they say? It's interesting. They will say when they look to us, and I know you don't have the Rashi, you have it, but it's in just the Hebrew. I'll just show you. He says like this, when it, first of all, when it talks about Ushmartem, that you shall safeguard, we're talking about us studying the Torah, okay? Because it's the actual knowledge of the Torah, not just the keeping, which is also a very important part, but it's the knowledge of the wisdom of the Torah. But then when we talk about it being a, you know, that's what they look at us and they say, wow, this is like the most incredible wise, you know, this is the wisdom and understanding. So he says, Rashi tells us an interesting thing. He says, Bezais techashvu, through this you will be considered chachamim unuvainim, wise and understanding, le'enei ha'amim, in the eyes of the people, meaning that it's when we live according to the Torah and according to the Torah values, that's when they see us as wise and understanding, because that's what they're looking at us for. They're not looking at us for the other things. The other things they have themselves, they don't need us. But they're looking at us for our unique perspective.
That's when the anti-Semitism starts.
Well, in a certain way, you might say, the anti-Semitism, so it can be both things. Either it comes from us sometimes being a little bit not proud of what we have, and then when we hide what we have, in a sense, it makes them look down at us. But sometimes it's the jealousy, as you say, because we have so much. So it goes both ways, yeah. It's interesting.
It's such confusing times.
Yeah, because...
because what you're saying is right from the good people. But, I mean, I can't look at the news at the moment because I'm just seeing protests and hate being seen everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is the antithesis of what this is saying.
I know.
So, like, how
it's a hard
term.
Yeah.
Like, and also, even looking at people who do live by the Torah, and not all exemplary.
Oh, so that.
People.
Okay, so that's an interesting point. So, the truth is, no, that's a good point. So I have to tell you two things. The truth is like this, because when we talk about living according to Torah, we mean all parts of Torah. And Torah contains everything between man and God, between man and man. So obviously, representing the Torah means somebody who's living really according, as we say, genuine, exactly. But we're also human beings, and we make mistakes, so we have to understand that also. So, but I know what you mean, but we're talking about in the general way, at least when we're striving to, and that's a value of ours, to yes, live properly with the laws, even to keep the laws of the land is a law of the Torah, right? So it's a person who keeps up the laws of the land, keeps up the laws between man and man, and of course the laws between man and Hashem, all of them together. It's interesting, you're right, there is so much hatred now. I think it's always been, 100%.
Yeah,
it's always been.
Now full display.
Yeah, now they're just openly, you know, no shame. Now they don't hide it. They don't try to sugarcoat it. It's true. But let's see, I'll just show you a few very nice, interesting insights how the Mefarshim look at it. And it's interesting what you're saying. But here, I suppose, also, he's talking more about when they mock us now. I mean, we know they just don't like us, as you say. It's anti-Semitism. But a lot of times they have this thing that they say, they talk about the things that we do, right? For example, let's say now they're blaming it on genocide or whatever it may be. But that's lies, right? So they're not really, it's not true what they're saying. In other words, if the ones who are looking at what we really are not mocking because they see what we really are. If you want to lie, you can lie about anybody. You can make up stories about anybody. And then, of course, you can just, you know, knock them all down. But I'll show you some very beautiful things first. I just want to read a few more psukim. I want to show you one or two more psukim, and then, actually, even before we go through the psukim, because we read this pasuk, so I just want to show you something interesting. Actually, before you go inside, just to share, so there was a fascinating article that I read, which actually compared a few of the different commentaries, and he brings a beautiful thing. He says like this, that in the Rambam, in the Mora Nevuchim, the Rambam, you know, he talks a lot about, if you think about also all these people's lives, the Rambam also lived through a lot of anti-Semitism. He had to move from Spain, he moved to Egypt and to Morocco, and he lived in so many places, and it was so challenging, all the different times that he encountered so much anti-Semitism. And yet, interestingly, what we find with the Rambam is that he was a doctor, as we know, and he was not just a doctor, he was a person who was looked up to by the nations of the world for his philosophy, for his teachings. So they respected him. It's interesting. And he became so close in each place to the royalty and to, you know, he had this incredible, and even the teachings, we know even Maimonides is known, the teachings of the Rambam is known all across the world. He's like one of the great, so to speak, philosophers of all times, whether they agree or not, whether they've moved on, but still many things are based upon it. So he has an interesting thing. So he says a fascinating thing. He says that this pasuk is actually really more, in a way, talking to us as a Jewish people, never mind the nations of the world. And he says that the truth is, we have a fascinating thing, that when the nations of the world look at us and they see how we live, so if they look at us and they see how we keep Torah and mitzvahs, we know that in Torah and mitzvahs there are different kinds, as it said in the pasuk. There are certain mitzvahs that make sense, and those they might say, wow, okay, so this is a very smart nation who keeps mitzvahs that make sense. But then we have mitzvahs that don't make sense, right? And that they laugh at. They mock us. They say, what kind of people are these? Sorry, these are people who... I don't know what's stuck. 1 second. These are people, he says, who keep these silly things. So then they mock us. But he says an interesting thing, that if we just stick to keeping all our Torah and mitzvahs, and not worry what they think, what they look at, because he says like this, that even the mitzvahs that we don't understand their rationale, the truth is we know that they have some godly purpose, right? We don't know what they are, but we know that. We know that they have something which is even beyond our understanding, right? And therefore, when we keep all of the mitzvahs, what happens is that after a while, what the nations of the world will do is they will see that this is a very smart nation, as we know, and if they're keeping these irrational mitzvahs, it must be that they also have meaning. Because if they look at the way we live, and we are such a smart... It's like when you see... If you see somebody who's extremely intelligent, and they're reading a book, so you would, even if you don't understand, you think that book is a simple book, you'll say, it must have some intelligence, otherwise that person wouldn't waste their time with that, right? That's how you would look at it. So that's also bad. So when we keep the whole Torah, he says, then what happens is they begin to realize that all parts of Torah have value, even if we don't get it. It's okay. There's nothing to laugh at, so to speak, and it must be that it's something which is beyond what we can understand. It's something which is not only that, but fascinating thing, we have also that they might, according to another one, the Ran, he says, perhaps they'll even admire us, and they'll say, look, they keep all the rational parts of Torah, we understand why they keep it, and it's good, and it's important, he says, but it must be that the parts that we don't understand, it must be that they have real deep secrets, and it's just beyond us, because once they start to respect us, they start to say, oh, that those parts that we don't understand, we can't mock them, it must be that we don't understand them, but there must be something very special about them. Then we have the interesting, the Kliyakar has an interesting thing. He says it's talking to us as a, just us. Forget the nations, he says. We shouldn't even care what the nations say. We're Jewish and we serve God because that's what we do. We don't care if they mock us, they laugh at us, and we know that they love to mock us. And a lot of times what happens is, because of the mockery, both of the nations of the world and even other Jews sometimes, what can happen is, and we know this famous thing that it says in Shulchan Aruch, when a person wakes up in the morning, we say, Heve az kenamer, a person should be bold as a leopard. What is bold as a leopard? Not to care when other people are laughing at you. Not to care when other people mock you and put you down. You do what's right because you know that that's the right thing to do. And he says, what's going to happen is when we keep Torah mitzvahs, interesting thing will happen. Even the chukim. After a while, other people will not mock us. Now, it's not that we care if they mock us or not, but we will be strengthened. Why? Because what has to go through our mind is, and this is what he says that we have to realize from these psukim, is that these mitzvahs that we call chukim, the ones that we don't understand, we know, it says that we don't understand them, but Moshe Rabbeinu did understand them. Except for one, Parah Aduma is the one that's beyond, you know, but all, even that, they understood a lot, whatever is able to be, right? So what does that do to a Jew? A Jew starts to think and says, oh, they're making fun of us because it's not understandable. But then we start to realize, no, we don't understand because we're just ordinary people. But the leaders amongst us, they really understand the depth of what these mitzvahs are. So why should I even care what anybody else says? Because I know that they have tremendous value. That's the one thing. But not only that, but also it's a very interesting thing. It says that what will happen is, after a while, though, other people who are mocking us will stop mocking us. Because when they see us keeping the Torah and mitzvahs with that inner strength, with that conviction, then all the mockery falls away. And it is true, you know, we tell children that, like, if somebody's making fun of you, just ignore them. Because after a while, it's like a balloon, you know, it pops. They're not interested. They're not getting anywhere. And that's what's going to happen. So our inner strength is what's going to give us that ability. First of all, we won't look at what they're saying. And after a while, they'll stop saying it. Not only will they stop saying it, but even they'll come round. And they'll realize that there's something very deep and something very special about our way of life. So that's another way of looking at it. Okay, I think that was all. There was one more. I'm just trying to... Oh, the Chassam Sofer, he even stronger says that we shouldn't care about what other people say. That's definitely not in who cares about them at all. We should remain aloof, he says, and we should just be secure in what we're doing. That's what the Chassam Sofer, he has this... Because this is your wisdom. You should just know it, you know. The Chassam Sofer lived in Hungary at a time we know as... I mean, it was always difficult, but... It was not only difficult from the non-Jews, it was actually difficult for many of the Jews who were called the Maskilim. That was a time when there were many enlightened Jews who were becoming assimilated, especially in Germany at the time, which was the, you know, the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It was quite interesting. It was quite, in a way, it was a time when Jews were, yes, accepted into society a little bit more. And becoming more and more part of society. Obviously, they had to convert after a while if they really wanted to be accepted, but they had that chance, and that was a very difficult time, actually, so to speak, for Jews to remain strong in their Torah. And that's why he had this thing, not to care, not to look at what they say. Remember, be strong in who you are. That was his very, a very big part of what he said. Okay.
It didn't work with the Nazis.
Exactly. Okay.
You said earlier, you said that Moshe taught the, you explained it so beautifully how he taught everybody and taught them. Well, that's what you do now.
Oh, Riva. Yeah, Alibi. All right, thank you, Riva. Okay, I wanted, what did you say, Rona?
I would
not. Rona. Plenty, yeah. The one who's learning it. Let's see. Okay, let's see now. Going back into the psukim, the next pasuk is a beautiful one. Pasuk Zayin. Not only it's a very interesting thing because we're still. It's interesting because we're saying that this will be your bina, this will be your chachma in the eyes of the nations. But look what he says in pasuk Zayin. Beautiful, verse 7. Ki mi goy gadol asher loy elokim, for who, which is a great nation that has a god, kroivim a love. Close to them, Kashem Aleikenu, like Hashem our God, B'chol kareinu elav, whenever we call to him. Sometimes we think, oh, that doesn't feel like that, but nevertheless, we have an incredible close relationship with God. And it's obvious to everybody. It's very interesting. That's what he's saying. Even the nation stop and notice that this is a nation that has some special connection to Hashem. Even as we look at the last 2 years and all the terrible things, and it has been very challenging. When we had, I mean, it's crazy, but when Iran was attacking, and thank God, I mean, they did damage. I mean, every, you know, is terrible, but nothing like what they wanted to do. And we know what happened, I mean, even in, like, the beeper story. It was unbelievable. Everybody, like, right away, they say, wow, there is something about the Jewish nation. Anybody who wants to be honest says, how is it possible that we are still here? When we have everybody against us, as you said, how is it possible that we're still here? So it's obvious to everybody that we have some special connection. And as he says over here, this is something that we should know for ourselves, that Hashem is there for anybody whenever we call to him. But it's obvious to all that we have a special closeness, as he said, kravim elav. And then he says, he goes on, umi goy gadol, and which is a great nation, asher leichukim umishpatim tzadikim, who is a great nation that has these type of laws. And tzadikim in this context is not talking about righteous people, but we're describing the laws, that the laws are righteous laws. Again, anybody who stops and learns properly, not things that are misquoted or taken out of context, but learns Torah with the proper perspective and with the proper understanding, will see how righteous they are, and how not only they're righteous, but they make our lives, they enrich our lives so much, and they, if people would live according to the way the Torah wants, the world would be an upright place. The world would be a moral, ethical, wonderful, you know, place, as we know. That's what he says. This is a Torah, which is, we say, chukum umishpatim tzadikim, kechol ha-Torah hazeh, it's like all of this Torah, asher anochi nosein lefneichem hayom, that I place before you today. So here we have all these, I want to see if there was anything on the Mefarshim before. For the next one, no. Oh yes, okay. So I want to see something. No, okay. Just. Okay, no, that's fine. Okay, let's just see. I want to see now the next three. Okay, so that's one topic. Now we'll move on, because now Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that we should be strong and feel pride in ourselves, and not only pride, but it's almost also to be grateful for what we have, in that sense, like, wow, you know, look what we have, look what we're given, look at the present that we're given. We're given such a deep, incredible, enlightening Torah that enriches our lives and enriches the whole world. Okay, once we're sure of that, then if we realize the priceless gift we are given, what do we have to do? As we know, when somebody gives a gift, as we know, let's say if you give even a teenager a nice pair of earrings, so what do you say? I don't know, as I say a lot of times, just be careful, you know, don't lose them, right? Be careful with them, watch them, as we say. Because unfortunately, when a person doesn't appreciate the value, sometimes they can be negligent. So now that we know the value, so now what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell us in Pasuk Tes? Ra kishomer lecha, only beware for yourself. Ushmar nafshecha ma'id, and greatly beware for your soul, as he says, which means actually to guard. What should you guard? Pen tishkach, lest you forget. Es hadvarim, all of the things, asher ra'u einecha, that your eyes have beheld, upen yasuru milvavecha, and maybe lest they remove them from your heart, kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life, v'haydatem levanecha ulevnei vanecha. Not only should you know them, but you should let your children and your grandchildren know them, right? So if it's so precious, keep them safe. Keep them very, very safe. Now, I'll just read two more psukim, and then we're going to see in the booklet. Yoi masher amadatel. What should you keep safe? So first of all these laws. And what should you keep? How will you keep these laws safe? So he says you can. It's very interesting. This is something that people say now. I think in psychology, it's a very big thing. If a person, for example, if a person's feeling anxious, so what do they say? The best thing to do is to pause for a moment and to transport yourself with your mind to a safe space, to a safe memory. But not just a memory, but it's a safe space, right? And then it'll fill you, in a sense, with a feeling of calm, right? Because right now you're in an anxious spot, so lift yourself out. So here, this is what the Torah tells us here. When we are going through life, And the preciousness of Torah is precious, but we get busy with our everyday life and we get distracted. Unfortunately, because we get distracted, and that's really what he just said now, we shouldn't get distracted, because once you get distracted, you can forget. Not only that, but what can happen is you can get so involved that you totally live, almost, you can almost live in a different realm. So what do you have to do? How are you going to shock yourself back, so to speak, to remember? So remember something. What should you remember? So he says, Yoyim asher amadata lifnei Hashem aleikecha b'chayrev. Remember the day. In other words, transport yourself back to the day that you were standing, Chayrev is Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, at the day that, what happened? Be'emar Hashem Eilai, Moshe Rabbeinu saying, when Hashem told me, Hakeli Esha'am, gather for me the nation, Va'ashmiem Esdvarai, and I will let them hear, let them listen, let them hear my words, Asher Yilmudun, that I, so that they shall learn, liyira oisi, to fear me, kol hayamim, all the days of their life, asher hem chayim, that they are alive, al hadama, on the ground, the es b'nehem yilamedun, and they shall teach their children. Just some detail, do you see the word? It says, in the middle of the pasuk, it says yilmedun, yilmedun, and then at the end of the pasuk, it says yilamedun. It's the same word, right? But no, in Hebrew, the same word. One is to learn and one is to teach. Do you see? Very interesting. Beautiful. Because we learn it, and in Torah, everything we learn, we are meant to teach. We're not necessarily meant to teach it in a formal way, but even just living by example is teaching it. That's the best way to teach it. So that's what he says over here. So we learn it, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, I allowed, and now it is your responsibility to pass it on to others. So this is what we do. We transport ourselves to Har Sinai, and we remember, and then we will not forget everything we learned. But I want you now to look, you have booklets in front of you, right? So page one of that booklet, and I want to show you something beautiful. If you look at page one in your booklet, the Kliyakar, I'm going to do the second Kliyakar, the Kliyakar that says, Pasuk Tes. You see, we'll do some of it inside, some of it orally. Raki Shamer Lecha, right, that you should guard and be careful. And first it says, watch yourself and watch your soul. That's what it sounds like. Just to take, before we talk about the remembering the Torah and Mitzvahs, when it talks about, there's another pasuk, Nishmartem Ma'od L'Nafshei Seichem. It's a different place in Dvarim. Do you know what it means? Interesting. Guard very much your soul. Don't know if you know what it's talking about there. That pasuk is often quoted when we talk about, it's interesting how Torah encompasses everything. We talk about a Jew being responsible to take care of their health. It's a fascinating thing. But it's actually a command in the Torah for us not only to do our mitzvahs, not only, as we say, to be between man and God and man, but even we are responsible between man and ourselves, how we take care of ourselves, which includes our physical well-being and our emotional well-being. It's extremely important for us to be healthy. That's a different pasuk, but it's similar to this pasuk. This pasuk also. So the Kliyakar says something interesting. In this pasuk, we have a double. It says, Raki Shomer Lecha, which means, but be careful and guard yourself. And then it says, guard your soul a lot. So the Kliyakar says something interesting. He says, Ratzal Leimar, Shmiras Haguf. The first phrase is referring to guarding your body, your health, your physical self. V'loy hiskir b'ma'ay. There it doesn't say very much. K'may b'shmiras ha'nefesh. When it talks about the soul, then it adds the word ma'ayit, very much. Interesting, why? Obviously, if we don't watch our body and if we're not healthy, we won't be able to live. We won't be able to do Torah mitzvahs. That's the first thing. However, interestingly, if a person is well, generally speaking, it is a natural thing for a person to want to do the right thing, right? In other words, everybody wants to feel good. Not necessarily do we want to do the things that we need to do to feel good, but we all want to feel good, right? Everybody wants to wake up in the morning and have energy and not be sick and not be in pain. So we don't need an extra warning about that, right? It's something that we need a little bit of a warning because unfortunately we might get into bad habits and not do the right thing because they're easier or we're lazy or whatever it may be, or we might just be tempted, but we just need a little warning. But when it comes to matters of the neshama, because that's much further from our reality, Therefore, there we need a greater warning. And that's why there it says, ma'id, very much. But obviously we see from here, both are incredibly important, and both are being commanded by Hashem. And then he says, what is it? He says, Ratzalay Mashmiris, I'm sorry, Mashmiris HaNefesh, Asher Bishmirasa, Tzarech Adam, Lihizaher B'yaisa, a person must be very, very careful, Mi Mashmiris HaGuf, more than guarding the body, Lekach Amar, Ushmar Esnafshecha Ma'id, watch your soul very, very much. Okay. Also, another interesting thing about this is that we know, this is fascinating, but let's say when somebody's young, for us it's much harder, but like teenagers or even like in the early 20s, a person naturally has more energy and can do with a little less sleep. So a person might think, well, if I'm going to be learning late at night, well, then I won't be healthy. So obviously you have to be careful, you have to be healthy. But sometimes a person is allowed to push themselves a little bit. It's okay, you know, that's what I'm saying, it's okay. You can push your boundaries, obviously within the realm of normalcy and knowing that it won't push you over the edge. But when it comes to learning Torah, doing a mitzvah, doing something for somebody else, which might be inconvenient, or might be, let's say, for example, a person might have to eat lunch an hour later. They'll be hungry. Do you have to eat lunch first and then do the favor? No, not necessarily. Hungry won't kill you, right? Nothing will happen to you. You won't be really suffering from it. It might be uncomfortable. So that's what you can see over here. When it comes to matters of the soul, which means doing something for somebody else's matters of the soul, it's okay to be a little bit uncomfortable, right, in our own body. That's what he's saying. So that's where we have to, you know, have the balance. Coming to the memory. Now go to the second column. I want to show you something beautiful, and then I'll show you a beautiful letter. So he says, now, we shouldn't forget, lest we forget. But we might think, what does it mean that the Torah is warning us against forgetting? Forgetting is a natural thing. Every human being forgets. We wish we had amazing memories, but that's not how we are. We forget. So let's see how the Kliyakar says. He says, so first of all, Razal lamdu mikan shehasheicheyach dover echad mimishnasei. This is based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that somebody who forgets something from their learning, mischayev binafshei, this is a very strong language, actually is, I don't know how to say it in a nice way, but is liable for death penalty. Okay, it's a very strong language. What does that mean? But we all forget. We all do. So just to clarify, what this means in the Mishnah is that if somebody intentionally forgets, if they sit down, I mean, I don't know how you do that, but because I think the more you try to forget, the more you'll remember. But if you intentionally say, I want to forget, I want to forget, I want to forget, well, that's not allowed when it comes to Torah, right? Okay, so we know that. But let's understand. But obviously, what it does mean is that we do have to put certain precautions in place to try not to forget, because forgetting is such a terrible thing. That's what it's trying to show us. So let's see how we do it. So he says like this. So he says like very, very fascinating thing. And even stronger, he says, why? Why is it so terrible to forget? Ki goyrem la'atzmai shegam Hashem yishkechu. Because what he's causing is that Hashem should also forget. When we forget, Hashem forgets us. And that's, he brings a pasuk from Hosea, Vatishkach teres alekecha, eshkach banecha, gam ani. If you forget my Torah, right, then I will forget my children as well. Okay, let's put that aside. Then he says like this, Oy darshu razal, min pasuk, there's a pasuk, a very beautiful pasuk that says, in Malachi, vishaftem, that you shall sit, ureisem, like in other words, you shall sit and judge and see the difference, bein tzadik l'rasha. What's the difference between a righteous person and a wicked person? Bein oived elikim, between one who serves God, v'asher loy avadai, and one who doesn't serve God. What's the difference? So it says like this. The Gemara says, what's the difference between somebody who serves God and somebody who doesn't serve God? This is such a fascinating thing. So we would think, well, obviously, somebody who serves God does mitzvahs. Right, is kind, or cares about another person, or keeps Shabbos, whatever it may be. Somebody who doesn't serve God doesn't do all those things. But you know what the Gemara says? No. It's nothing to do with that. He says like this. The difference between somebody who serves God and somebody who doesn't serve God is a very simple difference. He says, She'einai daime, shayne pirkai meya pa'amim, l'shayne pirkai meya pa'amim ve'echad. You cannot compare somebody who learns and reviews what they're learning 100 times to somebody who reviews what they're learning 101 times, right? The famous thing. So somebody who learns and reviews their learning 100 times, They're not serving Hashem. Somebody who learns and reviews it 101 times is considered somebody who serves Hashem. Why? What? One more time? What's going on? So the Gemara over there discusses, and it brings an analogy from, a donkey or something that you hire. And if you hire a donkey and the donkey is used to going 10 miles, well, then you have to pay a certain amount. It's like, you know, we have that even with renting a car, right? You have to pay a certain amount for a certain amount of mileage. Once you go over, even like with credit on the phone, you know, you have it, all of a sudden the prices get hiked like crazy, right? So let's say with the donkey, if the donkey is used to going 10 miles, you pay a certain amount. And then if it goes one extra mile, you pay double that amount. Why? Because it's hard, because it's not what he's used to. So it says in those times, in the Gemara's times, people would actually review what they learned 100 times. I always, when I look at that, I always think about it. When we learn something, and if we hear somebody repeat it, we say, oh, I know, like we're bored, like, oh, I know it already, or why should I listen again? You know, you go to shul and you hear the Rav giving, oh, I heard it already, I read. It's in 100 times. Why? That's the way you really remember it. You don't learn it 100 times, we don't remember. And the truth is, we don't. We don't remember now like they used to. You know how we know that? Because in those days, they didn't have the way we have all the Sfarim written down. They had to have everything in memory. If they wouldn't have done that learning 100 times, we wouldn't have the Torah we have today. We owe them so much. And it's not exciting. Maybe the second time, the third time, the fourth time. After a while, it is so tedious and so boring. We know it's, I mean, Lahavda, like us sitting on the treadmill. 5 minutes, okay. After that, oh my gosh, you want to get off. You can't wait. You're counting the minutes till you can get off. It's the same thing. But yet, they did it. Why? Because it's the only way to really internalize something. So that's what the Gemara says. You learn 101, which means it's not only good enough to just review. You have to stretch yourself. It has to be with an effort, that extra time, more than what you're used to.
40 is 111. Steam engine needs 112.
And 12, there you go. That one extra one, there we are. It's an incredible thing. And that's also in itself the most magnificent lesson for us. In everything we do, a drop more, a little discomfort, it's good. That really is what seals it all. Okay, but coming back here, I want to show you, the Kliyakar is a beautiful thing because he shows us how we can even learn it in the words of this Pasuk. So he says, if you take our Pasuk, not our Pasuk. First he shows us in that Pasuk, it says, Loi Avadai, right? It says, the one who doesn't serve. So Loi Avadai is Lamid Ayin, is the first two letters, which is 100. Lamid is 30, Ayin is... That's the one who doesn't serve. He learns 100 times. But the one, he says, Oyveit Eleikim La'asher, that's 101. So the one who serves God, that's 101. But I want to show you how he says it. He says a beautiful thing. Go to the next paragraph. He says, Vizu mishali la'asais remez yakar mizeh. I am going to, the Kliyakar says, give a very nice hint, a precious hint. Kishetistakel b'mila zachar. We know in Hebrew, how do you say to remember? Zachar, right? How do you say to forget? Excellent, the shkolach. And the root of the word is shin chavches, shachach, right? Shachach, or I say shachachti, I forgot, right? So now, what's the difference numerically between the words zachar and shachach? Believe it or not, amazing. He says, v'nimtza, mispar, meya the echad beinehem. 101 is the difference between remembering and forgetting, between zachar and shachach. So he says, interesting. He says, so like this. Now, very nice, very beautiful, but what does that help me? So he says, v'haraytze levatel hashikcha, the one who wants to get rid of the shikcha, in other words, the forgetfulness, what should he do? Yachzar alimudai, he should review his learning 101 times. And then what's going to happen? Every time that he reviews, he takes away a little bit from the forgetfulness, because the remembering is 101 times less than the forgetfulness. And we'll see in a minute why should the forgetfulness be more and the remembering less. But every time you learn, you remove one part of the forgetfulness. So you continue to learn more and more until you get to the point after 101, well, you are guaranteed you will remember, Zachar, it will be engraved in you. You will never forget it again. And he says an interesting thing, a beautiful idea. He says, the Karav Lishmaya, he says, Shahamalach Hamamuna al Hazikarim, the Malach, he says, there's an angel which is in charge of memory, and his name is Zachar, which means that he has 227 strengths. Whatever you want to say. Energy watts, let's say. If you want to say 227 watts of energy is the malach of remembering. And then he says, V'hamalach hamamuna al hashikha, the one who's in charge of the forgetfulness, his name is Shachach. And he is given 328 watts of energy. So he's much stronger, the forgetfulness one. But we have to dim him, right? We have to diminish him a lot. Interesting. But he says, why? Why did Hashem give the one who, for the forgetfulness, so much stronger, as we say? So he's an interesting thing. He says, fascinating thing. Let me just see. Al-Kain, he doesn't actually say why, but he says, Al-Kain, Hashikha goyveres al-ha'adam. So it's important for us to realize that the dominant thing is forgetfulness. Memory is not the dominant. In other words, the de facto, you know, so to speak, what's the position? If we learn something, inevitably, normally, if you try to remember it a day or two later, you'll forget it. That's just the way Hashem made us. It's stronger. Forgetfulness is stronger. That's the way Hashem built it in. But what does Hashem want us to do? He doesn't want us to forget, especially important things. Part of the reason we do forget is because some things we should forget, right? That's good. Otherwise, imagine, actually, I remember once, there's actually a certain syndrome where some people don't forget anything. And it's actually very scary. I mean, emotionally, it's the most difficult thing to happen for a person because you can never move on. I mean, it would be too difficult. That's probably one of the reasons why Hashem built us that way. However, when it comes to important things like Torah and mitzvahs, we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget our grandchild's birthday. Chas v'shalom. Why would you want to forget? Not only why, that would be terrible. There's important things in life of other people we don't want to forget. So what do we say? What do we do? So we instead of the malach of Shachach being the stronger one, we make the malach of Zachar being the stronger one by dimming the watts of the malach of Shachach. That's what we do. We dim him. It's like two different forces, and we diminish the force of forgetfulness and we strengthen the force of remembrance. That's how the Kli Yakar says it. A very, very, I think it's actually magnificently beautiful. Just even the imagery of it is quite incredible. And I just want to show you, I want to see if there's anything else. I just want to see how he says it. So he says, yeah, that's why forgetfulness is stronger, because that's the stronger one. That's why we have to review our learning 101 times. Because b'ki b'chol pam u'pam shiach. So every time he reviews, hu mechaser u'machlish, he diminishes and he weakens kayach echad mikaychaysav, one part of his strength. Ukeshachazar meyav echad pamim hechlish kol kaychaysav hayiserim. Then what we do is we make him on an even keel, right? The forgetfulness one. And now what happens is that the remembering one is the dominant one. He becomes the one in charge. And the forgetful guy has to be, so to speak, subservient to the remembering malach. That's what happens. Remez ledavar he shamer, then he shows in our pasuk. In our pasuk, if you go back, it actually in the words, it says, he shamer, be careful, ushmar nafshecha ma'id. And if you take the first letters, it's the makes 101. See, that's how you watch yourself very much, by remembering and by reviewing something 101 times. And then there's still a word in there that we skipped out, l'cha. L'cha is lamid, which means to learn. By learning 101 times, that's how you you make the remembering malach dominant and the forgetful malach subservient. And then he says, v'zerem ez yakar, this is a very precious hint. Now, if you look at the next page of your... Oh, it didn't come out. Did it come out on the copies? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I don't know if it's clear at all, but I'll just read it to you. It's so magnificent, and I have to read you. What it is this is taken from a letter of the, as I said, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. So somebody's obviously writing to him and saying that they are learning. It's a young person, so it's interesting, and that doesn't even have the excuse, you know, that we have with age. And it's a young person, and they're busy learning certain parts of Shulchan Aruch and learning. And he's saying he's finding it so difficult to remember. He struggles with his memory. and he thinks he has a bad memory. So I'll just read you some and I'll translate. It says like this. First of all, as a response to your letter where you're complaining, ki adayin eina yiraya hatzlacha, that he doesn't see success, bilimud in his learning, yeredeya, u misaynen ala shikha, and he's complaining about the fact that he has a bad memory. So he says, seder limudai, first of all, the way you should learn, tzarech liyais, so he tells him he should learn Gemara in depth, and also he should learn the Shulchan Aruch. First of all, he says, b'seder misudar. I know, it's that sheet. I don't know if you can see it there. It's a bit unclear, but in a very organized way. That's the first thing. So learn organized. It's important. Like, start, you know, from basics and go through things, not just haphazardly. So that's a very important thing. And then he says, la'at, v'loi b'mehirus. Learn slowly, not quickly. It's not important how much you're going to learn. If you're going to learn a ton and you're going to forget it all, what's the point? Be patient. Learn slowly. Go through things slowly. And then he says, "Vitzrichin ladas ki hatzlocha bilimud dayreshes zman." A person has to know that if you want to have success in learning, it takes time. You have to give it the time. You have to be willing to invest and be willing to be, as we say, patient. Ubedvar tiv hazikaren, and the fact that you were mentioning about the memory and so to speak, having a good memory. So here he says something interesting. Hine kechol kaiches hanefesh, just like all of the powers of our soul, in other words, all of our abilities, hu taloi bechizuk hamachshava, it is dependent upon our strengthening of our mind. And what does he mean by strengthening of our mind? Bechizuk hamachshava taloi beha'adam atzmai, that's dependent on the person themselves. Im chayshev sheyesh lai chas v'shalom chulshos b'zichreinai, hine machshava zu gufa gayremes chas v'shalom chalishus hazikaren. If a person thinks that they have a weak memory, just the thought that they have a weak memory will cause them to have a weak memory. And this is written a long time ago. This is not the modern now. You know, now we have all these things about how a person has to believe and then that it happens, you know, you manifest, whatever. This is from the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, and it's written in 1930-something was when this letter was written. 1940, I think. But it's amazing. It's actually an amazing thing, but it's something that we really have to internalize. So I guess for me, we can't keep going around saying I have a bad memory, or we just can't do that. We have to say, I don't have a bad memory. I don't know. I have work on my memory, whatever it may be. But we have to believe. We have to believe that we can improve and that our memory is actually a power that Hashem gives us, and we can work on it and we can constantly strengthen it. And the way to strengthen it is by using it, as we know, that's for sure. Now they talk a lot about neuroplasticity and that the brain can, you know, the brain can stretch, and we can, the more you use it, like with everything. We know that physically, so why shouldn't we think that with the brain? It works like that with our muscles, so for sure it should work with the brain as well. And then he says like this. So the more you think, as he says, that's going to actually, and then he says, if you think to yourself that your memory is good, this itself will cause a strengthening of your memory. And he says that it's actually a natural, like it's a rule naturally. As we say, he says, who shetvi HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'teva kayach zeh yoyser mibichol ha-kayches v'achushim. And he says that this is something which Hashem put into this, so to speak, this faculty more than into other faculties. Yechazak b'dayta, that a person has to strength, be strong in his mind. Ubemachshavtei ki yesh lo zikaron tov, that he has a good memory. He says even more than other things, you have to believe in this. We have to believe in everything, right? If you want to succeed, you have to believe you can. But he says with memory, it's even more important to believe that you can. Believe that your memory will absorb and that you will remember. But it's not just belief, as the Kli Yakar says. You have to learn it 101 times. And you have to learn it slowly, as he says. You have to not expect miracles that it's going to happen in 1 minute. You have to be willing to put the effort in. But not just to say, I have a bad memory. Saying you have a bad memory is not going to get you anywhere. But not only that, it will actually cause you to have a bad memory. No, forget that. Well, how did you say the word? Forgettery. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Then he says like this. And then he says a beautiful thing. Ubizman kotzer, and in a short time, be'ezras Hashem, yischazek kayach zichreinai, his the power of his memory will be strengthened, and Hashem will make him successful. Yatzliach loy b'limudai, in his learning, both in revealed parts of Torah and in the inner parts of Torah, and in the fear of heaven. V'yishtadol ba'avaydus harbatzas ta'Torah, and he should try very hard and work hard on spreading Torah, as he says, and between the youth, amongst the youth, as much as he's able to. And because of that, Hashem will make him successful, as he says, v'yeh yira shamayim chosid v'lamdin. And that's what he says. So it's a very powerful idea that we have to really, really internalize. So it's a lot of messages.
So
learning slowly.
Remember something, you've got to say, good girl for remembering.
That's it. Oh, 100%. But not only that, but you have to also say, when you're learning something, I will remember it. It's not only good. Then how? I'll look at it again and again and again and again. Slowly, learn it slowly to begin with. Learn it a lot of times. Review it. And then when we do forget it, not to be embarrassed on ourselves, look it up again. Just look at it again. Read it again. It's okay. I forgot, so I'll look at it. But you know what's interesting? Because most of the times what we do is we do forget, but we know that we've forgotten something. So there is some memory there, right? You realize? But we just don't have it at the forefront of our memory. That's why what I find is that when we review it, oh, then it comes back. Even before you read the whole thing, it comes back. So it's okay. We can look at it. Doesn't matter. That's fine. But just 100 times, 101 times, and keep on going, and not allow that voice, I have a bad memory, I have a bad one, I just forget everything. It's not going to...
It's such an interesting area of memory, because there's auditory memory, there's written memory. I mean, some people are visual learners, some are auditory. So
exactly.
You tell your husband 50 times to do something, because he's not an
auditory, he will not... So, but you know, that's such an interesting thing you're saying, because you're right, you're 100. So that's why we find such a beautiful thing with Torah. It says, if you see, you will see in the Psukim, it uses both words, it uses Ure'ei and Lishmaya, because it's actually addressing both.
See,
that's to see and to listen. Exactly. Because for some of us, we have to listen, and for some of us, we have to read, and for some of us, we need both. And you know what? It's actually the best way. The best way is to use both. And that's why I say always, now we are so gifted with technology, because we can listen to Shiurim also online. And when you listen and you read it, there's no question that it enforces, it really... It helps you.
Something
sinks in. Exactly right. Exactly right, Rona. Something sinks in. That's it. I agree. 100%. I think it's a few minutes, but we'll stop over here, because next one we'll go to another topic. But each person, but I just thought it's just a magnificent lesson. You can see already, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, this is for us up until today. Imagine he's telling it to them then. So for us, for sure, how much more so? In a way, unfortunately, I have to say, technology has impacted and actually a little bit lessened our memory, because we rely so much. And that is a problem. That's why, so it's a problem, but in Yiddishkeit, we don't say something's a problem, we look for the solution. So we have to use technology to help us with our memory, instead of relying on it to diminish our memory. So again, boredom is a very difficult thing, because nowadays, people are very, everything changes, even news, right? Every minute there's a new thing. So it's hard for us to look at something a few times, much harder than it was in olden times. Mamish runs at such a speed. We're on that also doesn't help the memory. But it's everything's on fast forward. I say it's always like fast forward. That's how we are, and there's no normal pace. But as Jews, we know that's such an important thing. That's why Shabbos is the most amazing day. It really is. And on Shabbos, we open up a book, we sit down, nothing else exists, right? And we can learn, and we can daven, and we see people, and we're with people, and it's amazing. And that's the gift Hashem gives us. But every morning, we're meant to do that also, right? That's why it's beautiful when we come together. This is amazing. It's an amazing time. Okay, it's true. Sometimes we do have to run, we have an appointment, but the fact is we're here. We're here and we're nowhere else. And that's a very special thing. And that's what we have to put into our life and into ourselves. This is the gift Hashem gave us. So now more than ever, we have to strengthen it.